When you have this kind of very deep transformation events, you can react two ways. You can react with fear and retreating into a corner, or you can react into let's learn more, let's understand, and let's embrace the future already. For organizations, the first thing that is important is the mindset of how they embrace these changes that are coming. And the mindset should be a growth mindset. It should be the ability to, how can I do things better if I have now this capability? How can I incorporate this augmented capacity into my daily routines and redefine pieces of my day-to-day? How we can reinvent ourselves into the future.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the HR Leaders Podcast, the show where we explore the future of work with industry experts and HR executives and the world's leading global brands. So excited for today's episode. We're going to be talking about the next wave of workplace transformation, working with AI, and I'm joined by my good friend who's back again, Guillermo Miranda, who's a former Global Chief Learning Officer, Senior Advisor, and member of the Science Advisory Board at BetterUp. How are you, my friend? Nice to see you again.
Very good. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Here, cheers from Madrid.
How have you been? You're on the other side now. You formerly CLO of many amazing brands. Now you've gone to the other side. How's life treating you, my friend?
Oh, not bad. I think it's a whole experience from being an operating executive in IBM, the World Bank, Boeing, to be part of the advisory boards of unicorns that are really changing the marketplace. So it's a different value proposition. And it's also a way to capitalize of all the experience being on the other side of the counter. So I love it.
Nice. Love it. Well, I thought it'd be good for us to start, especially how you can't go anywhere now without seeing AI, ChatGPT, to just start with talking about what is AI? Because I feel like everyone I speak to has a different answer. So for you, when you think about AI, what is AI?
Yes. Look, artificial intelligence has been with us for some time. And there is a very clear consensus that you have basically three types of AI. What they call, the scientists call the narrow AI, the general AI that we are starting to experience, and the super AI that is coming. So narrow AI is as simple as the chatbots that we are used every day. It's as simple as our own streaming recommendations. Based on what you have seen, we recommend you now the crowd, or we recommend you now Chris on the podcast, and then you get the recommendation. So narrow AI solves a very specific problem, and it's based on a deep knowledge of a corpus, a very specific pool of information, and is trained to respond to that. The chatbots, the automation that we have seen in some processes, the recommendations, that is narrow AI that has been with us all this time. I think in the last probably 8 to 10 years, very easy, very clearly recognizable in internet. Generally, AI, on the other hand, is not specific and deeper. The very clear example in front of our eyes is ChatGPT. It's generative AI. So you have a much broader corpus of information, and the engine is trained to answer to different kind of questions and to elaborate the general availability of this general AI comes also with an increased ability for processing power. Without processing power, this is not possible, right? So the general AI is closer to human intelligence in a way, okay? Of course, always remember that everything that ChatGPT can say to you comes from sources that were initially generated by humans.
Yeah.
So it's organizing and repeating information that is part of this corpus that is being trained in real time.
But in past tense and right? It only has the information part in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It only has the information in the past. It elaborates, it refines, but it's based on the information that we all create as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the third type of AI is a super AI. And super AI is based on of general AI working in parallel, sharing information and learning, if you want, the best practices. And that generates a next level of knowledge that has not been trained by humans, which is make a conclusion based on these 3, 4, 5 experiences. If I do that and this happens, if I do that and this happens, and then the different general AI engines change information in a network and connected world and come with broader conclusions that we did not train originally to do. And this is the deep neural connections that this availability of general AI engines. And that is coming into the future. It's going to be part of our day-to-day, not far into the future. And that's the piece of AI that we should look into hope, but also with a very clear mindset of how we will use it.
Yeah.
This is AI. It's not mystical. It's there.
You're right. We were talking before we went live. It's been around for a long time, but it's more recently that it's come to the headlines. And, you know, Microsoft, Google, ChatGPT, they've all launched, you know, it's in a matter of weeks, they all launched their own version. Of that, right? Yes. I feel like as soon as ChatGPT launched, every company was like, okay, we have to launch. we have to get into the market now. And we saw everyone
And ChatGPT got into a record of 100 million users in a matter of days, which is a level of adoption that I have not seen before with any other tool.
And it's crazy now that already, for me personally anyway, I could speak for myself, it's become part of my everyday life. You know, even just before we went live, I actually ran some of my questions through ChatGPT, to be honest, just to see what it would give back and some suggestions. Yeah. And I actually said, oh, that's a good suggestion. I didn't really think about that. So it's become part of my daily life. What does this then mean for the workplace, right? This is why we're here today. This is why many of the leaders and managers and companies are like, whoa, how do we approach this? What impact is this? Are you already seeing this have?
Well, I think that what we need to see is how this augmented capacity for human beings is coming to be a reality, okay? The initial version of AI, the narrow AI, brought us the ability to automate things. The administrivium. Oh, let's process these documents. Oh, let's do this enrollment. Oh, let's do these correlations. Oh, let's run these usual queries. So it was taking out of our hands the boring, very repetitive task, and that was okay. Or we're doing things proactively to help on our marketing activities with all these chatbots that you can get answers and will help you. Now, general AI is actually coming to be part of our day-to-day exactly the way that you use it. You are the host of a podcast, and 10 minutes before the podcast, you run 3 or 4 questions just to enhance your own understanding. The previous version of that is I have to do research.
Yeah.
Or I have a research assistant that will do all and will prepare notes for me so I be prepared. Now you have an enhanced capacity at your fingertips. And that is the same for people that is working in different fields. And now we are going to start seeing more and more use cases on how this general AI capability can improve the outcome of financial models, can improve the outcome of learning recommendations and the creation of learning pathways, can improve the outcome of how you elaborate routines for people that is coming back from recovery from a medical situation. Many, many areas in the current marketplace that we can see augmented. Mm-hmm. We have more ability to do things that we have before. And that will change the way that we work one more time. So if the first pass was digital transformation, the ability to digitize, have data to inform our actions, to iterate, now with this data and iteration, we will have also the ability to see around the corner. that we did not have before. And that will change the way that we operate, we collaborate, we reshape some of the traditional roles. And as anything that we have seen before in terms of disruption into the workplace, we will adjust, we will accommodate, and there is a capacity of human beings about ingenuity, curiosity that is very difficult to get from machines.
Yeah. Well, on that point then, can you talk about like the right mindsets and let's say mental agility that can help organizations take advantage of this wave of AI? Because it also, that's something that I feel like we need to develop and support our leaders and managers with.
Absolutely, Chris. So
a lot of those are related to actually spending time with my team and having conversations, not doing sort of admin. So I kind of outsource all of that. And then last night when I went home, I had an amazing podcast with a DEI leader, and it's coming out soon. And I wanted to create some content, but I was like, I don't have time because I want to spend time with my daughter. I want to, you know, be a present dad. And I was like, surely there's got to be an AI tool that automatically can edit my entire podcast for me. And lo and behold, there was. And I downloaded the tool and put in the video and the audio, and it automatically switched the camera angles and edited the whole thing. And I spent the rest of the evening with my daughter relaxing and doing that. So I know it's a kind of a silly example, but these are the things that we can, as human beings, as parents, as dad, as leaders, we can spend time on more of the high value human touch tasks and sort of automate the rest. So, yeah.
Yes. And you will find the other angle that probably you will not see immediately is that this augmented capacity will start to show us different ways to interpret, to do an interpretation of the same reality. Human beings, we are used to routines and we have our own biases. So if you are editing a podcast yourself by hand, you will carry all your experience of editing podcasts and you will miss pieces of highlights than then an engine that can run 20 times faster and do simulations of different things will capture. So you are not just automating that and make it getting time, but you are getting a value of somebody that will not be biased with your own experience, mm-hmm. that has unlearned that and can give you new ways, and then you can learn from that. So it's a very symbiotic process, I believe.
Yeah. Well, a good example would be screening, right, for talent. If you use AI to do that, it doesn't carry the bias that exists of you personally, which is then going to make your candidate pool more diverse.
Absolutely. Mm. And also depends on how
it's trained.
One concept. Yeah. One concept that is very important. We started the conversation with what is AI? Narrow AI, general AI, super AI. But there is another concept that is very important that is related with the corpus. Corpus is what is the information that is being made available for the engine to process and get the answer. Okay. And then the training of the engine, how you did the training of the AI engine. So those things are very important because first you have to have the ethical implications of how you train the engines. And then you have to have the biases clean up for the training process. There is a lot of examples of early narrow AI solutions that were trained to recognize human faces. And guess what? We forgot that we have a lot of people that are brown, myself, including Latins or black people. And we trained a set of photographers that were just white Anglo-Saxon, if you want. And the machine was very good. And the moment that you put somebody that does not come from this training, it doesn't recognize. Well, same with screening CVs. You can train with the bias of look for the university title instead of look for the skills.
Look for the skills.
Yeah. And yes, you will have a very efficient tool that will just preserve your own biases to the future.
It's going to serve
you. So it's a moment that,
yeah.
Exactly. is a moment of a watershed moment that we can.
This episode of the HR Leaders Podcast was brought to you by our friends at Achievers. Two-thirds of employees have one foot out the door in 2024, and the top reason to job hunt? Better compensation. But money isn't everything. The Achievers 2024 Engagement and Retention Report reveals that employees crave emotional salary too. What does emotional salary mean? And what are the ways to increase emotional salary to engage and retain top talent? Learn more about motivating your employees beyond just pay by visiting achievers.com/HR leaders. Again, that's achievers.com/HR leaders. Let's get back to the episode.
Reset many of the things as well.
I'm so happy you brought that up. It's such a very important point to make. Otherwise, you're just serving up the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
It's one of the reasons why I have a plugin on Chrome that basically will allow me to be filtered different types of news and media. Because if you're on media websites or like YouTube, etc., it will just give you more of what you already search for. So you don't get exposed to new ways of thinking, insights, or challenged. So I made sure that I've installed that to make sure I'm constantly being fed different views and perspectives, as opposed to just feeding my own narrative back to me again.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I play that in my mobile phone. I have the more traditional, but I have DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, exactly.
DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I use that, and yes, I review my traditional streaming and my Apple News if you want. But then I go to DuckDuckGo and I get NPR, I get BBC. So you are nurturing your own view in a different way, intentional. And that's part of the things. You have to be intentional. If you just go to the flow, maybe you are trapped into this situation of less cleanup on how you set up the engines for AI.
What would you say? There's been a lot of talk around AI potentially replacing human jobs. Can you speak to that concern?
Absolutely. So I think that change the narrative. Instead of replacing, we need to talk about reinvention. And reinventions will have, for sure, a potential to have pieces that are painful. Okay? So the way that workplace is configured now, and the job design is done, assumes that you don't have this augmented capacity. So when the talent and workforce planning people comes and say, okay, let's assume that now we have this augmented capacity, we need to redesign and we need to get the job done in different ways that most likely are going to be much more collaborative, much more iterative, much more value add, focus on the value add, not on the repetition of tasks, right? In that process, there are jobs that are going to be redesigned. There are jobs that are going to be reinvented. It doesn't mean that the people cannot be reinvented. And this is the responsibility of companies, governments, and communities and society in general. We need to reinvent ourselves to the next wave of transformation that comes with this general AI availability. And that reinvention requires us to acquire some new skills, to get used to work differently, and to be able to have this rhythm of with the ambiguity, okay? And we have seen this happen in front of our eyes with the COVID pandemic. We were able as society to very quickly shift and try to find new ways to operate as society. And many things that were taken for granted were no longer available. But in my life as an operating executive, I used to travel very, very, very frequently. And then I got grounded. You have services, you have many things. And society reinvented in a painful way in some cases. Yes, well, we have to totally acknowledge that. But we have the ability and the ingenuity to reinvent ourselves. Now, the intentionality, as I said, of companies, government, and communities is important. Because if not, we will not be able to take society as a whole into this reinvention. There are going to be the pockets that are left behind. There are going to be the pockets that are biased because of the way that we restructure the AI engines into the future.
What are some of the specific things that companies can do then to help with those skills of the future and help those employees?
The first thing is to start using AI. So if there is any doubt about AI, general AI is here to help us, we need to start using. It's like the adoption of the narrow AI on the chatbots, on the marketing profession, on financial simulations. Yeah, there was an adoption slowly. Here probably is gonna be faster. So intentionality of adoption is important. Second, intentionality of how this will impact across the board. So it's not about fixing one situation. It's about understanding across how this impacts the whole talent life cycle of the employees, if you want, and be prepared for that. And then also be very clear that there are pockets that are going to have more difficulty to adapt. Mm-hmm. And those are the pockets that we have to double down and help support and reinforce into the future. So embrace the future, have intentionality to be very inclusive and process, and put the mechanisms in place in order to help the whole community, the whole organization to come along in this reinvention process. If you don't do it, then you will have a fragmented reality. And that's the big risk for organizations.
Yeah. What about in terms of the skills, though? I know you're doing a lot of work around this area. What are those skills? What are those skills of the future that people should be developing and focusing on?
Well, I think that the skills of the future are based on three layers that are different. First, there are very clear foundational skills, and foundational skills in the sense of understanding what is AI. And AI, as I said, is not necessarily just this big robot that is coming to replace us. It's the small chatbot that is helping us to book travel. Is the small chatbot or engine that is helping us to optimize our financial portfolio. Is the chatbot that is answering us the queue to create a task in a platform. But also is the general AI that is helping to enhance my job as a designer, enhance my job as a podcaster, enhance my job as an advisor, and how you have to understand how it works. So that piece foundation is how it works. Then you have to have the soft skills that are more based on your mindset, your mental agility, your resilience attitude that are acquired. This is not somebody, oh, you are a bit an optimistic. Well, we can all be a bit an optimistic if we get the right incentives to be a bit an optimistic. If we have the right neuropsychologists call it brain plasticity. Mm-hmm. Brain plasticity is the ability to reroute the loads of activity in your brain. If you have that brain plasticity, you will adapt to new things. So those are what traditionally were called soft skills.
Yes.
The skills that are not technical skills. Those skills are very important. And things like providing mentors, providing coaching, very intentional coaching in terms of how the leaders develop those abilities, having the science behind, having the right interface, etc. And providing the space for the people to reinvent and learn new skills is important. And finally, of course, the hard skills. So I am a financial analyst, and I've been used to work on my financial analysis with this model, I will need to acquire the skill to use a different tooling, a new capacity. Yeah. Our day to day, it was very clear in many companies how the methodology of agile became pervasive. And then with COVID, immediately we all became experts to do agile on on platforms like Miro, like Mural. So you have to know
learn
how to use
new.
It. You learn something new. So those technical skills for the different use cases and the different professions are important. So foundational, the soft skills, the mindset, and then the technical skills that will help you to work differently on a day-to-day, on your specific use case.
Mm. What about decision-making? As we start to get more and more information from AI and it starts to handle more decision-making tasks, how do you think that then impacts the role of a manager and a leader? You know, because they're going to have to develop a whole new set of skills in terms of using AI and technology to make decisions. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So look, as a manager, for some time, we have been evolving from this model of the manager makes the decision to the manager enables the team, okay? So the same way that now you enable a team where you have different players that are a multidisciplinary team, you will have yet an additional player, which will be your AI engine. And the AI engine will bring scenarios to take action. The machine in cases of investment or things is not going to make the full decision. It's going to bring you scenarios and then you decide. The same way that you just did the research before you explain, I asked this, I got this information, and I decide to use these three sources of information. Mm-hmm. And knowing my experience, I disregard these other two. So that ability to manage this scenario is important. You will have an enhanced capacity to run a scenario. Now, on the other hand, more task-oriented things are going to be relegated to the AI engine. And that's the piece where a very clear ethical framework is important. We need to be conscious and we need to be very clear on where are we delegating some decisions. So managing the queue of medical appointments, okay? And managing the queue in the NHS in the UK. That's mm-hmm. important.
Yeah.
No, you get a ticket and you get an appointment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in those cases, if you are going to delegate to an engine to help to make that, you have to be very clear on the trade-offs that are needed. And have always an escape for a human decision making. Or in the cases where the engine is not able to elevate the case and say, hey, here we have this situation where we have these three equivalent and I cannot decide, do it as a human. So have this mechanism of opt-out for the engine when you are automating some of this decision-making. But we are reinventing society because we are inviting into our society an protagonist, a character that we didn't have before. So this is very important. If you want a parallel, the industrial era, we invite into our families something that now is assumed like a standard, to have basically a car, to be able to mobilize people. And that was a big wave, but we invited into our family a character that is part of the families. Most of the families that can afford it are using that as a day-to-day. They don't think about but now
my entire house is automated, to your point. Every part of it is automated. Even my fridge is smart.
And
knows what food's in there and what food's missing and what I need to order, and automatically orders it for Alexa. So it's like
exactly.
It just kind of operates in the background. You kind of don't even know it's working. I have another one recently, which is really helping me, that my co-founder introduced me to, which is it's a Gmail extension of ChatGPT, which prioritizes my emails and then automatically writes responses. It doesn't send them. I still have to look and do it,
exactly.
but it does 80%, 90% of the work. And then I can go in, here's all the emails, here's all some suggested replies. And I'll just hit send because it gets it perfect. And now it's just saved me so much time to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
As well. You mentioned briefly the ethical side. I feel like that's a part that's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, right?
Absolutely. I think that, look, in the US Congress, there was an audience about ethical AI and what are the implications to regulate or have a say on how we want to shape this new character that we are inviting into our society and our community. And there was a very good example. And one of these politicians said, look, guys, few years ago, when we have all these social media platforms, government decided to step aside and let the innovation go. This time, I think that because of the implications for the future and because how advanced is the technology, we cannot let the innovation flow. We have to take a say, and we have to have a framework of how this should operate and how we put limits and how we help the innovation to be funneled. And not necessarily is about direct supervision, is probably more about very clear frameworks and very clear areas where we should not use this capacity, right?
Yeah.
And if society takes this right, we are really inviting into our daily lives support to make our lives much more comfortable. There is the danger that this character in our lives turns against us, turns and creates an unexpected and bad outcome. But this in our hands to decide how we want to regulate these situations. And this is macro level. At the more micro level, in your house, in your organization, we can make decisions. In my house, we have made a decision about social media for the family. And we have all an agreement that this is no more than 2 hours on the weekends. And until homework is done, there is no screens. And if it's 8 p.m. and you have not finished, there is no more screens. And screens are for communication, not for playing, only during the weekends. We have auto-regulated and it's working. Sometimes the kids come with an exception. Sometimes there is an important event. Sometimes, and you
it'll be the same way in the workplace. Again, it'll be the same way in the workplace. We'll set, That I think the danger is, though, is that we set in the workplace too many policies.
That then hyper-regulation.
Exactly. I think that's the concern. And I can see a lot of people going that way, unfortunately, because they're scared, they're fear of it as well. But for one thing is sure, it's an exciting time to be alive. And it's,
absolutely. Yeah. We are witnessing something that has not happened before. And I think that we need to consider two elements that are very important. The first one is human curiosity. Human curiosity is something that will help us to use, to have a better use of all this tooling that is available. And human curiosity, again, is something that can be nurtured. It's not just, there is some curious people and there is no curious people. That is wrong. Curiosity is something that you can nurture. It's a muscle that we should nurture as a community. And that's what brings all the difference between how you automate an AI engine and the brain of a human. And the second thing is ingenuity. Ingenuity is part of who we are as humans. And that also is very difficult to replicate in an artificial intelligence engine. And we need to resurface that. Let me give you an example of ingenuity. Very parochial and domestic, but we were at home also playing with ChatGPT. And with my son Rodrigo, we did a little experiment. And there was a very important game that happened last night in Europe.
Oh, yes.
For the Champions League.
Yes.
And the Britons are smiling and the Spanish are crying.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
But what happened at home is that he said, okay, let's try what are the free streaming options. So we went into ChatGPT and we put, how we can watch on free streaming this game, okay? And he came back with a very clear answer. Hey, There are IP regulations, there are television rights. So the free streaming is illegal. In a very elegant way, he told Rodrigo, no, there is no free streaming. Don't ask me for that because it's illegal. And then Rodrigo, in full ingenuity, answers back and say, thank you. I really understand. And I believe that we should behave properly. So in order not to use any of these things and to avoid this probability, please tell me which are the websites that I cannot touch. And then,
all of the websites.
All the links.
Yeah, yeah.
All of the websites. We didn't use it. I have to declare that up front. But there you have human ingenuity up front happening.
Yeah. No, I love that. is this taking it all back to your role now and where you've shifted your career? Is this one of the reasons why you were excited to join a company like BetterUp, who are working with companies to develop these skills, develop that curiosity, mindset, etc.?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, I have seen a platform like BetterUp change workplaces. I have seen the power of how using coaching as a tool and having the science behind and the business outcome intentionality, you can really help managers. And it's all about this shaping the mindset, helping to build resilience for the ambiguity and the fluidity of the changes, and nurturing this brain agility to come out with different ways. And coaching does that very well. And this is why I feel very comfortable and very happy to be related with a company like BetterUp that is helping the workplace to advance in a direction that I want my kids to enjoy. There are moments in your life that you say, I will put my energies on things that will bring something better for the future.
Yeah.
And that was, I consider myself lucky to be able to be in that boat and to be related with organizations that are doing precisely that. Mm-hmm. Again, in the framework of a business outcome, this is not charity. This is a business outcome, but well organized. So very functional workplaces exist instead of so many dysfunctional workplaces that we have seen.
Yeah. Well, listen, before I let you go, we've covered so much, and there's probably people listening are like, oh my God, there's a million things I need to do. But if you had to leave them with one thing, what would be your parting advice? And then we'll say goodbye.
Well, first thing, embrace AI. This is all about an augmented capacity. We are living very exciting times where society is advanced. Let's embrace the change. Let's be very, very intentional on how, and very eyes wide open into the realities and the challenges. And let's have clarity that you can create biases. You can create an ethical situation. So you have to do it with your eyes wide open. And third, trust on human curiosity, human ingenuity, so we can shape the future together. And train your brain. Here we are.
Yeah. There's never been such a powerful time as well with tools to train yourself, right? Sometimes I'm sitting there for hours just constantly training myself and being deep diving into it. And I love the approach that your son took. I'm interested to see how kids now adapt to AI and because they're going to grow up with this. They're going to grow up with this as a normal, you know, everyday tool. The same way we grew up with Google in a different way.
And one more thing that is important is this is not about knowledge workers only. And that's the other big difference. Because in many cases, we tend to think about knowledge workers, the professionals that are in front of computers. No, AI is changing the life of mechanics, changing the life of retail workers. It's changing the whole way that we organize work. And that's also extremely exciting. We have the opportunity to add value into before very administrative, boring tasks.
Love it. Well, listen, it's always fun chatting to you.
Likewise.
I knew we wouldn't get through all of the questions in time, but we covered a lot, to be honest. You covered a lot.
Yes.
You did an amazing job. But for everyone listening, make sure you go follow Guillermo on LinkedIn. And apart from that, enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. Thanks again, Guillermo, and I'll see you again soon. be well, my friend.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.